my mind yesterday a scripture in Luke, I think it was Luke chapter 6, where it says that people from all over the region came to hear Jesus and be healed. And what stood out to me is that phrase, they came to hear and be healed. Hearing preceded the healing. And I said yesterday, so many times people want to just come up, you know, have somebody lay hands on them, 3 seconds, bam, you're healed, and there you go, on your way. But there's the hearing part that's necessary, because hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the message of faith, the message of healing. And so that's what Marilyn so wonderfully did yesterday, just laid out the message of faith and the message of healing and our responsibility in that. And we can take that and build on that. And that's good seed planted against soil. And I'm expecting to hear some wonderful testimonies of what God has done. So let's, can we just stand one more time and give Marilyn a warm covenant welcome. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. What an honor it is to be here, and thank you again, Pastor David and Bobby, for having me come. It's just it was great yesterday, just meeting all of you, and want to thank you for the warm hospitality, and you know, this is a happy church. I like being happy. You know, God's a happy God. He's a happy God, and the word is a happy word, it is, isn't it? So, and Father, we thank you that your presence is with us this morning. And Lord, we worship you. We magnify your holy name. We glorify you. Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. For your glory is above the heavens. And we worship you. We magnify you. For you alone are so worthy to be praised. Holy, holy, holy art thou, O Lord. So worthy, so worthy. We thank you for your word this morning, Lord. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our guide, our helper. Lord, we purpose to open our hearts to receive. And I pray that everyone here today, that you would anoint their eyes to see, their ears to hear, their hearts to be receptive to all that you have for us this day. And we purpose to be not only a hearer of it, but to be a doer of it. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. And Lord, we thank you that you truly have kissed us with your presence this morning. And we give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. I had mentioned yesterday that when a carpenter builds a house, he has to use tools. And we know that we have to work daily to build our faith. So we have a table out there, and I like to call it a tool table. A tool table. Because it's tools that will help you to build your faith. And I want to mention a few of the things. Some of the things we just totally sold out of yesterday already. This is my latest book. It's called Memories and Miracles. And it talks about, actually, it's filled with stories, my personal life. I wrote it as a legacy to my grandchildren. But over the years, people said, we love your stories. Can we buy the book? So I made it a little bit more professional, and it is Memories and Miracles. But I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want it to be a devotional book, so how can I write it? And he showed me to write it down in sections. So one section is all about my childhood, how I grew up as a child, my wonderful family, my wonderful mother. It talks about how I got born again at the young age, how I was called into the ministry when I was only 8 years old. It talks about how I started talking and fellowshipping with the Lord when I was 3.5, 4 years old. I've known the Lord since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, if I can say it that way. Another section talks about heartwarming stories. I share about one of my Hallmark moments. I talk about Well, there's one that you'll really enjoy. It's about an obscene phone caller. Has anybody ever had an obscene phone call? Not nice. Well, when this guy called me, he got it. And you're going to love the story, what God did. There's one about all my angel stories, how I've been saved by so many angels. And then it talks about all my financial miracles and about seed time and harvest. And then all my adventures with God, my wildest safari out of Africa, the orphanage in Guatemala. I was called, God always shows up when you least expect. I mean, you will just love this book. But Bobby, may I give you this copy? I already signed it for you. Pastor, you can read it too. This is one book. I believe they've already sold out. But you know, anything that's sold out, you can go to my website and you can order it. But it's called Guidelines, Praying for the Sick. And you know, we are all called as an ambassador for the Lord. And we are all called to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. And you know, it isn't a difficult thing. But this is a guideline for when you're praying for people. And also there's a whole section on how to pray for people in a hospital setting. It will be a great enlightenment to you. But it talks about God's will and his ways. It talks about the different group of people that you would be praying for, how different people need different prayer. And then it talks about locating people's faith. Because when you pray for people, most likely they're not going to be on the same level of faith as you are on. And so it's so important that you learn to locate people's faith. I had shared with pastors last night, one time I was over in Indonesia. It was after the great tsunami. I was over on the island of Banda Aceh. And then we crossed over to an island called Makassar. And we were going to have a church service. And the church was packed. And all these people, they assumed that they were Christians because they weren't practicing the Muslim faith. So to them, I thought, well, evidently then I must automatically be a Christian. But I knew they weren't saved, and I knew I couldn't tell them that they weren't saved or they would have been offended and walked out. So I said to them, I am so happy to hear that you are all Christians. And now that you're a Christian, I want to tell you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And they thought, well, if that isn't the most wonderful thing they ever heard. I mean, the altar was flocked. Every person came forward to learn how they could have a personal relationship with Jesus. But I had to learn to locate their faith and meet them. Brother Hagin used to say, you meet people on their level and then you take them to the next. Amen. It's a very powerful book. Even one of my testimonies is in the back. But there's also a chapter in here. It's a roadmap. A roadmap that I wrote very simply on teaching you how to pray for people to receive salvation, how to pray for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and how to be born again. I mean, it's a roadmap in here. You will love it. So don't. You can order that one. I guess we're sold out, but you can order it. Another thing, I accidentally forgot to ship this one, but this is called my Daily Power Bar for Healing. And I'm sharing these because these are tools that will build your faith. I had all kinds of tools that helped me build my faith, and we need tools, amen. But it's filled with healing scriptures, but then there's also a little prayer in the back. And there's a blank space. And let me just tell you how this works. Let's just say that you have maybe crippling arthritis or diabetes, or you've got a heart problem, or you've got a hearing problem. Spirit of, and then you name that problem, spirit of diabetes. In the name of Jesus, I pull you down from your position of authority, and I break the power of assignment you have against me, for it is written. And then you pick out one of those healing scriptures that really bears witness with you. You proclaim that scripture, and that is how you take the medicine. Very, very simply. This one, instructions from the great physician. You know, you need to understand that God has instructions, and we need to learn to follow the instructions. And there's some of the instructions I have learned that there's one part of the instruction that people miss. they'll miss one part of the instruction. You know, if you are going to assemble, maybe you bought a cabinet from Home Depot or something, and every board, this is board A and board B. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, gosh, you know those things. Well, you can put A and B together, but you can't jump over and go to D. You have to have C, and you have to have all of them in order. Amen. Well, you got to follow God's instructions. One thing I love about God's medicine, and his word is medicine. It isn't kind of like it. It isn't, well, it's kind of sort of like, no, the Bible says it is medicine. And what I love about it is God's medicine has no negative side effects. And you can't overdose. And if you've got something going on in your body, I'm telling you, and I've lived it, you have to double up, triple up, quadruple up. If you've got an Apple Watch, you set your alarm. Every hour on the hour, you take the medicine. Sometimes you take the doctor's medicine maybe 3 times a day, and you could overdose on that. This, no negative side effects, and you can take it every hour. But I'm telling you, there's a price to pay if you want a miracle. The price to pay. Amen. This book, this is one of my latest books also. It's called Faith, 3 Methods of Operation. And when I share my healing testimony, actually this book is my 3 miracles, the journey. I've had 3 miraculous miracles. In each case, I was under the doctor's care. And in every situation, the doctors couldn't do one thing. I needed a miracle. And I got a miracle in all 3 cases. But as I shared my testimony, I realized that I've used my faith in different ways for each one of those miracles. The very first miracle was I just believed and I received. I had no knowledge of healing, but I had a divine encounter with the Lord, and he said, you are destined to die. And I said, Lord, I don't know one thing about healing, but I know you love me. And if you have a healing for me, I receive it. All I had to do was believe and receive that fabulous, that glorious, glorious miracle. So it's a very encouraging book when you read the journey, because there's a journey. It doesn't just happen poof. I was preaching in Switzerland 1 year. I had a whole week-long seminar for healing, and I was watching this one lady, and I thought, you know, she's just not grabbing it. She's just not catching it. And at the last day, I realized she didn't want to catch it. And she came up to me and she says, I don't want to learn all those scriptures. I don't want to do that. And she said to me, I just want poof. And I said, honey, poof is not going to happen for you. There is no poof scripture in the Bible. I says, you have to be a doer of the word. I don't want to be a doer of the word. I said, well, then you go home. It's okay. You don't have to. God isn't going to make you. It's a choice. No poof happens. But there's receiving faith. There's aggressive faith, there's defensive faith, and then there's spiritual vision. I don't have time to go into all the detail with these things, but these are life-changing. And this is probably, I guess you might have to say it's my favorite book, because this is my copy. It ought to be quite obvious that I love this book. And it's my daily, that's the key word, my daily delight in the Lord. And first of all, it talks about developing intimacy with the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul said, my determined purpose is that I might know him, that I might progressively and deeply become intimately acquainted with him. It doesn't happen overnight. But it talks about developing intimacy, how you can block intimacy, and how you can unblock it. And then there's scriptures in there for your daily faith confessions, be an ambassador for Christ. There's financial blessings, blessings for your family, for your nation. Matter of fact, I had a minister friend that had come to my home to minister to an outreach program that I had. And I had shared this book with him. He saw it, and he said, oh, I like that section that you pray for the nation. I said, oh, I always pray for my president and everybody. Well, after he left my meeting, he had another meeting. It happened to be at the White House with Laura Bush. He said, I'm going to give her your book. And he did. And much to my surprise, I got a personal thank you letter from Laura Bush. And I have a copy of that letter in this book, that she was thanking me for praying for them. So it's beautiful. A couple last things. This one, This card is designed to go in the bathroom if you take a shower. Does anybody ever take a shower? Aha. Uh-huh. Well, I wrote it large enough so that you don't, because you don't wear your glasses in the shower, but there's scriptures on one side for health and one for wealth. And I chose those two topics because those are the two areas where the devil will attack you the most. Amen. For example, wealth, the blessings of the Lord makes rich. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. I bring my tithes into the storehouse. That means you have to show up. I bring my tithes into the storehouse. The windows of heaven are open to me, and the Lord rebukes the devourer. I am furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Every seed I sow, it comes back to me multiplied. I'm highly favored of the Lord. The work of my hands prosper, and I have creative ideas. What a way to start the day. And this one for health. By his stripes, I am healed. I'm healed of all diseases. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I decree in Jesus' name, I'm free of migraine headaches. I have a good memory. That means you don't participate in senior moments. I have a good memory. My vision is sharp and clear. My hearing is restored. My joints are pain-free. I'm delivered from arthritis. My immune system is healthy. My cholesterol count is normal. My organs function properly. Body, you are healed and whole in Jesus' name. What a way to start the day in the shower before you even go to work. This is a power, this little card fits in your Bible. It's called The Battle is the Lord's. And it talks about all the battles that the Lord will do for you. And in exchange, we enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. And on the backside, there's lots of praise scriptures. And if you'd ever like to be in partnership with my ministry, I have a little partnership card in the back, or there's a QR code at the table. You can just scan it, and if you just want to donate a dollar. But I pray for my partners, because partnership is two-sided, isn't it? I pray for my partners. So be blessed when you go to the tool table today. Amen. I want to share something that I didn't get to finish yesterday. When I finished, the last thing I shared was I shared about my testimony when I was healed of malaria. I was in the hospital. I had two forms of malaria at the same time. I had double malaria. I was on my deathbed. I was told I only had hours left to live. This is a copy of one of my medical reports. It says, Marilyn Neubauer, July 1986, St. Francis Hospital. This says this patient is going to die. These are the facts. I didn't focus on the facts. I focused on the Lord's report. And his report says in Psalms 118, verse 17, I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And I have shared that testimony in over 50 countries and every continent, including the Eskimos in the Arctic. But truth always overrides the facts. Truth will supersede the facts. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I love the word of God, and I use lots of scripture. You like scriptures? You like the word? In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life. Who does the choosing? We do the choosing. We choose life or we choose death. Death and life, according to Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Blessings and cursings, sickness or health, it is all in the power of the tongue. Now, if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 6, and this will help you in so many ways. In Proverbs chapter 6, I want to read verse 2. You know, the Bible says, choose life, choose blessings. Proverbs 6, verse 2, you are snared or trapped by the words of your mouth. So if you speak the cursings, you've set yourself in a trap. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24. Proverbs 4:24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. What does it mean, a perverse or a deceitful mouth? What is a deceitful mouth? Who can tell me? It's to speak an untruth. What's another word for an untruth? A lie. So it is telling us, put away from you a lying tongue. It tells us that in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, and one of them is a lying tongue. Now, I'm sure all of you, if you have children, when they were little, you taught them not to tell a lie. Is that the truth? Didn't you tell your children, we don't want to tell a lie? Well, the Bible is telling us that God hates a lying tongue, and that we should put aside an untruth word. Every time we say something that is opposite of what God has said in His Word, He says that's a lie. You know, we are children of God. I can imagine every time we say something that is contrary to the Word of God, God is probably in heaven saying, I wish my children would stop telling lies. He says that by His stripes you are healed. That's Isaiah 53:5. In 1 Peter 2:24, He says, by my stripes you were healed. If He says you are and you were, then honey, you is. Amen. You is healed. Yeah. But if you go around and every Sunday, oh, thank you, Jesus, I'm the healed of the Lord, I'm the healed of the Lord, and Sunday night or Monday morning, oh, my back is killing me. Oh, these sinuses, it's driving me crazy. Jesus is saying, I wish my children would stop telling lies. I said you're healed. It really matters. You snare yourself with your words. I want you to turn to James chapter 3. Let's look at the New Testament, what the New Testament says about that. In James chapter 3, in verse 10, James is saying, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be. That's pretty powerful. We just read in Deuteronomy, I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings, choose life. And He said, the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. So sometimes we talk out of both sides of our mouth. We have to guard our heart. You know what I do? On a regular basis, actually on a daily basis, I ask the Holy Spirit, because he's my helper. I said, Holy Spirit, anytime I begin to say something that is opposite of your word, check my spirit right now. Just give me a check and I will repent. Amen. I'll repent right away. You know, I used to do that when, I used to do it. When I lived in Nebraska, I had a huge garden. And unlike Bobby, I love homegrown tomatoes. And when I planted my tomato plants, after I got all done, I'd stand back and I wanted to make sure the line was nice and straight. And I thought, oh, there's one tomato plant. It's not in line. So I would go over to that tomato plant and I would pull it up and I would just shift it over and put it right in a straight line. Well, when I speak something that is opposite of God's word and He gives me a check, just like I uprooted that tomato plant and put it where it needed to be, I immediately uproot that negative word by saying, Lord, I repent. I repent of what I just said, for it is written, and then I make it straight. The Holy Spirit will help you, because otherwise we're saying the wrong things. And Mark 11:23, it says, you will have whatever you say. So we snare ourselves. It's so, so important that we examine ourselves and don't speak out of both sides of our mouth. Amen. Does this help you this morning? I want to ask you a question. Have you ever lost something? Maybe you've lost your car keys, or maybe you've lost a wallet, or maybe you've lost your jacket. Anybody ever lose anything? I think we all have lost something, haven't we? Well, you know, you can't lose something if you didn't first possess it, correct? You have to first have car keys before you can lose them. You agree with me?
Yeah.
Well, there's one thing I have never lost. I have never lost a Rolex watch. Do you know why? I didn't have one. So you can only lose what you already possess, with one exception. It is very possible to lose a miracle before you receive it. And that's what I want to talk about today, because we don't want to lose a miracle. In John chapter 14, verse 16, John 14, verse 16, this is Jesus speaking. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. This is out of the Amplified. A counselor, a helper. What does a helper do? He helps you to do something. The helper is not the doer. We are the doers, and he is the helper. He helps us. And the Holy Spirit can help you to even receive a healing. He can help you receive a miracle of healing. In John 16, verse 13, John 16, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, and he lives within you if you're born again, he will guide you into how much truth? All, not some, not three quarters. He will guide you into all the truth. And you know, you can trust the Holy Spirit for two reasons. One, because he is the Spirit of truth. He only knows truth. He only interacts with truth. And the other reason why you can trust the Holy Spirit is because he is the Holy, Holy Spirit. You know, we say Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we don't really comprehend. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. You know, that gives us the ability to live a clean life. Not pure, not perfect, but we can live a clean life because the Holy One lives on the inside of us. So he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will show you things to come, and he will guide you. He can guide you into healing and wholeness. But we have to learn to follow the guide. You know, how many times has the Lord ever asked you to do something? All of us, we've done it. He's asked you to do something and you didn't obey. The minute you don't obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you just took the guide. You just took the guide into your own hands. That's not a safe place to be. Every time you disobey the guidance, you went your own way and you became the guide. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. That's why we have to live. You have to live from the inside out, because your helper, your guide, lives on the inside of you. So you can be very actively involved in the healing process. I've had so many people say to me, Marilyn, I believe in healing. I read those scriptures. I know God is going to heal me. Well, when they say he's going to heal me, that tells me, well, then it hasn't happened. They're still looking forward to maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, but it's going to happen. And in other words, for them, it's still future, in the future. I am sure every one of you sitting here today, at some point, you've gone to the dentist, or you've gone to the doctor's office, and you go to the front desk and you sign in, and the receptionist says, "Thank you so very much. Now, would you please have a seat in the waiting room?" The waiting room. The only purpose of the waiting room is to wait and wait and wait. You can wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 25 minutes, but regarding your physical examination or whatever it is, nothing happens in that regard in the waiting room. Nothing happens in the waiting room except wait. That's the whole purpose, is wait, and you wait, and you wait. It's the same way spiritually. If you are waiting for God to do something, you might wait 3, 4, 5 years until you get a revelation. It's already been done. He said, you are, not you not, you're not are. He said, you are, you were, you is. Right now, you is healed. So to wait upon the Lord does not mean to be void of activity. We have to live by faith. We have to walk by faith. That implies movement. Faith is always moving. Faith is always on the edge. Faith is always active. Faith is never sitting in a waiting room. Never. It's always moving. It's always active. Faith is the natural working with the supernatural to get accomplished what God wants for you to have. You know, sometimes people, they'll scratch their head and they wonder, oh, why is it taking so long? They'll say, it's a mystery to me. Well, it's not a mystery to your helper. Your helper, the Holy Spirit, is the revealer of mysteries. It's not a mystery to him. If you will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So when you are praying in your heavenly language, don't be texting your best friend at the same time you're talking to God. It says you're talking to God. What an honor, what a privilege that we can talk to God in his own language. So don't be planning your vacation or writing your grocery list when you're talking to God. How rude would that be? If I was to have a conversation with Bobby and I'm looking over here at something else and she's over here and I'm... That's rude. I'm trying to have a communication, a conversation with her. Well, when you are talking to God, and you're not talking to mankind, what a privilege that we can talk to the King of the universe. You think about the one that paints the sunset and he puts the stars in place. The one that paints the beauty in the wing of a butterfly, and the aroma in a rose. Man can't do that. God. And we can talk to him. And when you're talking to him in your heavenly language, if you stay focused, you might hear the Holy Spirit say one word to you in your language, and one word can change your life forever. So when you're talking to God, working through the Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of mysteries, He wants you to know the answer. Healing was never meant to be complicated. He wants us. He said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That you are not your own, but you were bought with a price? You belong to God. He says, glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. He wants you healed because he gets glory in that. So work with your helper. He's the revealer. I mean, sometimes you may not be doing anything wrong. Maybe you just need to tweak one little thing. Maybe you just missed one little element. How wonderful that you have a helper to help you to receive healing. And you're talking to the one who is the revealer of mystery. It's not a mystery to him, might be a mystery to you, but you can get the answer if you take time to spend time with the revealer of secrets. I love praying in the Holy Spirit. It says in Jude 20, you build yourself up, you make yourself strong. So when those attacks come, you stay strong. You've got to stay anchored. You know, I've written so many books, and after I've written my book, it has to go to an editor. Actually, my daughter edits my book. She's great at it. And she'll find if there's a misspelled word or maybe the grammar should be changed a little bit. She edits my books. Well, when I pray to the Father, and I pray in English, and then I pray in the Spirit, to me it's like the Holy Spirit, he edits my prayer. He's going to edit my prayer and make sure it's perfect by the time it gets to the throne room. Isn't that exciting? You got a perfect prayer. Because sometimes in English, when your kids are little, maybe you're praying for your children. This is what you want for your kids. But maybe God has a better plan. So when you take your prayer in English and you pray it in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit corrects some things. He edits it. I mean, that's how he edits my prayers. Hallelujah. So when you pray in the Spirit, you want to listen. Listen, you know, if you were to go to your favorite restaurant, maybe on a Friday night, and it's a favorite restaurant for a lot of people. Where did we go yesterday and it was packed? We had to go. Cousins. We went to Cousins. Well, everybody went to Cousins yesterday. It was a long wait, so we had to go someplace else. But if we were to walk in, you walk in your favorite restaurant, busy, 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 you would hear all these voices. Matter of fact, you could walk in there with your eyes closed. When you hear all those voices, you know it's busy. It's busy. But when you go to sit down at your table, even though all those people are still there, all those voices are still there, when you sit at the table, now you begin to focus on the people at the table. And now you turn your ear and you listen to the people at the table. Those voices are still there, but now you turn them off. And now you're listening to the people at your table. I can remember I was visiting at my daughter's one time, and my grandson was getting ready to go on the school bus. And she says, Matthew, when you come home from school tonight, do not leave your new jacket on the school bus. Are you listening to me? And he said, yes, Mom, I heard you. She said, no, I don't want to know if you heard me. Did you listen to what I said? There's a difference between hearing and listening. I can remember many years ago, my dad and my brothers, they were going to watch some boxing match. I'm not into boxing, but we only had the one TV, and I thought, oh, well, I'll watch the boxing match with them. And it was some famous boxing match. I mean, the whole world was going to be watching this boxing match. I don't remember who it was. But before the match started, they showed the interview of what was taking place the day before. They interviewed both boxers. And both those boxers, they were making those threats and shouting, I'm going to stomp on him. I'm going to punch him out. I mean, they're just making, you know what I'm talking about. They're making these horrible threats, both of them, on what they're going to do. Well, now it's time for the boxing match. And they're boxing. And then when it's over, of course, right away they interviewed the champion. But then they went to interview the man that lost the boxing match. And they said to him, when did you realize you lost the match? Round three, round five? When did you really realize you lost it? I'll never forget what he said. He said, I didn't lose the match in the ring. I lost the match yesterday when I listened to his threats. I should never have listened to his threats. Don't listen to the threats of the devil. He's going, well, you're not going to get your healing. Who do you think you are? The word isn't going to work for you. Don't listen to the threats. You listen to the healer. You listen to the voice that's on the inside of you. Because when you listen within, you are entering into the realm of the answer. There's an answer for every one of you. You enter into the realm of the answer. I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. I want to read it out of the Amplified. Is this helping you this morning? Is it helping you? Yes. Amen. In the Amplified, it says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has, not going to, all that he has prepared, made, and he keeps it ready for those who love him. Number one, for those who love and hold him in affectionate reverence. Reverence matters to God. You know, sometimes I just get grieved when I'm around believers and the slang words that they use. That's not reverencing God. We can reverence and honor him with the words that we speak, the way we dress, the way we treat one another. It all matters to God that we have holy reverence and honor him. And then it says, and those who promptly obey him. Procrastination, delayed obedience, it is disobedience. It matters to God that you promptly obey. You should always be quick to obey, quick to repent, quick to forgive, slow to speak. Amen. And then gratefully recognizing the benefits that he has bestowed. We should always have an attitude of gratitude, no matter what. Always have an attitude of gratitude. And then it goes on to say, yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed to us the things that he has already prepared for us by his Holy Spirit. Everything you need, it's already been prepared just for the receiving. So to know the thoughts, to know the mysteries of the Holy Spirit, you cannot bypass the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot bypass your helper. Once again, you need to work with your guide. When you speak in tongues, remember, you're not talking to mankind. You are talking to the King of the universe, the one who knows you best and loves you most and has every answer you will ever need. So we need to take time to spend more time with the Holy Spirit, more time with the revealer of secrets. In John 15:5, if you can turn there, John 15:5, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, or you could say it like this, receives much guidance. For without me, you can do nothing. The Amplified says, without intimacy with me, he says, apart from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Intimacy is all about a relationship with the Lord. It's not about formulas. Everything is about a relationship. And let me tell you, you can never come into the presence of the Lord God Almighty without receiving an impartation in return. Every time you genuinely come into his presence, you will always receive an impartation of whatever you need. And with that impartation comes the anointed outflow of whatever you need. It could be wisdom, direction, whatever it is. But when you come into his presence, you will receive an impartation. And with that comes the anointed outflow of what you need to do, where you need to go, whatever it is. But he works together with you, so we have to work together with him. I'm sure every one of you at some point in time, you've gone on a vacation and you went on a guided tour. Anybody ever go on a guided tour when you went on a vacation? Nobody? Oh, y'all did. You went on a guided tour. Well, when you go on a guided tour, what do? You follow the guide, because the guide can show you things you've never seen before. He'll tell you things you've never heard before. So a guided tour is a good thing to do. Now, I live outside of San Diego. I'm in one of the suburbs. San Diego is a beautiful town, and I am not trying to sell any cruises about San Diego. But what I want to share with you is you can take a harbor cruise in San Diego, and you have options. You can take a one-hour tour, or you can take a two-hour tour. Well, the longer the tour, the more you see. Would you agree? You could even go up to San Francisco and take a half-a-day tour. It'll take you to Chinatown, Fisherman's Wharf. It'll even take you out on the island of Alcatraz. I mean, it's a half-a-day tour. These are long tours. But again, the longer the tour, the more you see. I have some friends that came to visit me. They actually live over by the Sea of Galilee. And it was on a Friday morning, and they said, "Marilyn, you know what? We've never seen downtown San Diego. We heard it's so beautiful." I said, "Oh, it's a very beautiful city. Can we go see San Diego this morning?" I thought, oh, Friday morning. I mean, the traffic on Friday and Saturday to go downtown San Diego, I mean, you're going to go bumper to bumper. It's going to take you a while to get there. But they're my friends. Yes, of course, we will go see San Diego. So we're driving down there bumper to bumper to bumper. But whenever I show somebody San Diego, I always stop at my favorite place. It's Harbor Drive. So I took them over to Harbor Drive. We got out of the car, because from Harbor Drive, you see the whole skyline of San Diego. You see the beautiful Coronado Bridge. You see those huge ocean liners and the military base, right? I mean, you see it all right there. It is a beautiful view. So they got out and took a few pictures. I said, "Oh, good, now let's get back in the car and let's drive over just about two blocks away, and we'll stop at the big ship, the Midway, which was a part of Pearl Harbor." Any of you ever been down there? It's beautiful. I said, "Let's go to Pearl, see the ship from Pearl Harbor, and then we'll go down to Fisherman's Wharf and Seaport Village." And I said, "Let's get in the car." And they said, "Oh, no, it's okay. We're done." I said, "Excuse me? We're done." I said, "Done what? Done what? You know, we're done. We're ready to go back home." I said, well, we just got here." They said, "Yeah, but you said that's San Diego." I said, "Yes, that is San Diego over there." And they said, "Well, we just wanted to say we saw San Diego." I thought, okay. They were content to see San Diego from afar. How many believers are content to know their helper from afar instead of stirring up that hunger and that thirst to know him intimately, the author, the finisher of your faith, to know the revealer of secrets? There's so much more than just quoting the scriptures. There's so much more. It's taking time to know him. to know him. The Apostle Paul, whom God used to write over 2/3 of the New Testament, and he said, my determined purpose is to know him progressively, deeply, intimately with him. You know, an old Scotchman was one time somebody asked him, why do you love the Word of God so much? And he replied, it's because I know the one who wrote it so very well. But that would be our testimony. I know the one who wrote it so very well. That's why I love it so much. We have to take time to spend time with him and get out of the waiting room. Nothing happens in the waiting room. As I shared about my testimony yesterday, I also shared about when I was healed of cancer. It was approximately 9 years after I was healed of cancer, and every year I go to the doctor for my annual checkup. I call it my wellness checkup. My doctor says, Marilyn, you're the healthiest patient I've ever had. Just had my wellness check about 3 months ago. And so I had my checkup, and then I was going to go have lunch with my friend. But after my exam, the doctor said, how do you feel, Marilyn? I said, oh, I feel great. She says, well, you know, sometimes you can feel good and not know there's something's going on. And she says, well, I detected a tumor today. It appears to be a very fast-growing type tumor, and it looks like it's probably a malignant type of tumor. And if we can't dissolve it in 6 weeks, we need to do an operation because it is a fast-growing type tumor. And she went on and said a few more things, and she said, do you have any questions? I said, no, absolutely not. The reason I didn't have any questions is because all she can do is give me facts. That's all the facts I needed, because facts breed fear. Fear is the enemy of your faith. And like I told people yesterday, if you got a negative report of something going on, do not go to Mr. Google to get his information. And I'm serious, because all he can do is give you facts, and facts breed fear, and fear contaminates your faith, and you have to live by faith. You have to walk faith. You have to breathe faith. Amen? Amen. So I said, no, I have no questions. I simply said, I will keep my next appointment. I left the office, walked across the parking lot, and I got into my car, and I sat there. And the first thing I did was I had a conversation with myself. I don't know if you ever talk to yourself, but sometimes I do. The first thing I said was, don't panic. Don't panic. Anytime you get a report that can just knock the wind out of your sails, and you don't expect that, you don't want that kind of report, panic will set in. And I thought, don't panic. And then I took about 3, maybe 4 real deep breaths. There's just something about, just stop for a minute, take in some oxygen. Have you ever been around somebody and they're starting to panic, and you say, just calm down, just take a deep breath. I took about, whew. I took about 3 or 4 really deep breaths to make sure, just calm down the emotions. We're all real, amen. Did you ever go through that kind of thing? So I thought, don't panic, take a deep breath. And then I'm still sitting there, and I thought about Joshua and Caleb. They were the only 2 spies that entered the promised land because they refused an evil report. So I said to myself, I'm still talking to myself, I said, Marilyn, that's an evil report today. And I agreed. I said, yes, it was. And I said, I give no place to that evil report. I give no place to a malignant tumor. I give no place to a benign tumor. I give no place to any tumor. Therefore, there will be no need for an operation. Now, let me clarify something. This is my personal testimony. My testimony. And let me say this, there is never anything wrong with going to a doctor There's nothing wrong with having an operation. There's nothing wrong with believing for a speedy recovery, a successful operation. You're mixing wisdom with your faith. You understand me? Nothing wrong with that. But I'm just sharing where I was at that place in my life. I thought, no, been there, done that. I don't want to do that anymore. So then, after I finished talking to myself, I talked to God. And I said, Lord, I want another miracle. Not just recovery from surgery. No, I want another miracle. That's what I said to God. And then I asked God a question. I said, Lord, what is my part to receive another miracle? Because you have already done all that you're ever going to do. Nothing. It's a done deal. What you have done, it's a done deal. It's all over. You don't have to do one more thing. I know that. So now I'm asking you to tell me what is my part so that we can work together to get this miracle. And so I am inviting my helper, the Holy Spirit, to reveal to me. He's the reveal of secrets. Okay, I need to know what is the secret? What is my part? Because you're the revealer. Reveal to me what is my part. Then the next thing I did was I changed my priorities. I was going to go have lunch with my friend. I canceled that. Let me tell you, if you want a miracle, I'm talking about a miracle, not recovery from surgery. I wanted a miracle. So I changed my priorities. Going to have lunch or going to go golfing or something, that is not a priority if you want a miracle. I changed my priority. I went home and I'm getting into God's medicine and I'm taking God's medicine. You can be sure I did it every hour on the hour. I am determined to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to hear from the revealer of secrets what is my part to receive a miracle. I'm telling you, there's a price to pay. And for me, going to lunch was not a priority. I want a miracle. Because if I've learned, if I don't change my priorities to receive a healing, then my friends are going to have to change their priority, get off work to go to my funeral. And I don't want that. I'll change my priorities so we can all go back out to lunch maybe another time. So I changed my priorities. And I went home and I'm saturating myself in the Word of God. And repeatedly, many, many times, I'm applying Jude 20. I am building myself up, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. It will build you up. I need to be strong on the inside because I've learned if you are strong on the inside, you get the victory on the outside. I need to be strong on the inside. Very, very strong. So I am taking the Word of God and I am building myself up repeatedly. The third thing I did, and these aren't formula steps. I'm just sharing some of the things that I did because it's about a relationship, not a formula. The third thing I did was I decided I'm going to fast one meal a day. Now, you might be in a situation where you can't fast food, but you could fast something. Fast your hobby or fast something. I chose I'm going to fast one meal a day. And in exchange of that meal, I'm taking more of God's medicine. But for me, when I fast, I'm so aware that it causes the ear of my spirit. It causes the ear of my helper to be more in tune with it causes the ear of my spirit to be more in tune with the voice of my helper. I asked a critical question, what is my part? I don't want to miss the answer. I don't want to miss that answer. So I know when I fast, it causes my ear to be more in tune with the voice of my Father, of my helper. You know, if you can just envision a circle and God's at the top and we'll say the Holy Spirit's at the bottom or on the inside of us. When I pray to the Father, via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he takes my prayer up to the throne room. And the Lord speaks to the Holy Spirit, because we read that in the Gospel of John. And then the Holy Spirit comes back and he speaks to me, and he only tells me what the Father told him to say. Isn't that what the Word says? So I want to hear what the Father has to say. So I'm listening all the time. And the next thing I did, and if you'll turn to James chapter 5, verse 14. James chapter 5. You know, you can't expect a rhema word if you don't first do the written word. In James chapter 5, verse 14, you know that scripture, I'm sure. The second, well, confess with your faults one to another and pray one for another that you might be healed. And the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. I'm sorry, I wanted to read verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go to the church, and I'm going to have the pastor pray for me, call for the elders, have them anoint me with oil. So I went to church, and I did exactly what the Bible tells me to do. So I'm doing all this repeatedly for 6 months or 6 weeks. I didn't go to the church but that one time, but I did do that. But for 6 weeks, I'm doing all of this. I am just building myself up. I had gotten to the place where I just felt so strong. I know. I've already got it. I know I've got the miracle. And my last appointment was going to be on a Monday, and I think it was about Wednesday or Thursday prior to that. I mean, I started getting so excited to go to the doctor. I've never been excited to go to a doctor in all my life, but man, I can't wait to get to the doctor, because I know I've been obedient. I know I'm going to get a miracle on Monday. I am so excited about my, I couldn't wait to get there. I got there, I had my appointment, and the doctor examines me, and I'm all excited. And she says, Marilyn, today, the tumor is still growing, and now it's the size of a small grapefruit. And so I'm going to have to go ahead, and we're going to schedule surgery for Wednesday if we can't wait any longer. Because it had been growing and growing and growing. The symptoms were getting worse. The negative reports kept flooding in. But no, I'm standing. I know by Monday I'm going to get that good report. I just know. You know, Brother Hagin used to tell us, because I hadn't heard anything from the Lord, you know, so I'm assuming I'm doing everything right. And Brother Hagin used to say, you can go as much by what you don't hear as by what you do hear. I thought, well, I didn't hear anything negative, so I must be on the right track. It's just like when you've got children playing outside in the yard, and if they're having good behavior, every 5 minutes you don't say, oh, that's good, that's good, that's good. No, it's when the ball starts to run out into the street and there's a car coming and your child runs out into the street, you shout, no, stop. Well, I didn't hear a no, I didn't hear a stop, so I'm on the right track. Well, when the doctor said, Marilyn, the tumor is still growing, we're going to have to go ahead and schedule surgery. Well, that about knocked the wind out of my sails. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't expecting that. And I said, I mean, it's kind of like I just checked out and I thought to myself, no, the doctor is not cooperating with me. That is not, she is supposed to tell me if the tumor's gone, and I'm going to invite her to my church. And I'm going to tell her this is what the Lord has done for me. But now she's not cooperating. This isn't right. And I'm just thinking, no, that can't be. I mean, I'm just checking out. I'm in the spirit realm. And I thought, no. And then it was almost like I was facing a spiritual junction in the road. And I thought I could turn to the left and think, okay, I guess I'm not going to get a miracle this time. Or I could turn to the right and think, well, I can believe for a successful operation and a speedy recovery. I could do that. And I thought, no. No, it is written, I is healed. And so, no, I am going to stay anchored on the Word of God. And I knew right then, right now, at this very moment, I'm going to either win or lose the battle. Right now, the choice I make right now will determine whether I win or lose the battle. And so I'm going through all this in the spirit realm, and then I heard the doctor say, Marilyn, Marilyn, are you listening to me? I said, oh, yeah, yeah, I heard you, I heard you. She said, well, you have to go to the hospital tomorrow, Tuesday. Go to the hospital tomorrow. They're going to run all these tests. You're going to be there for several hours. And then we're going to have surgery scheduled on Wednesday. There's another doctor that's going to be there with me in case you hemorrhage. She goes on with all this negative stuff. And I said, I heard you, I heard you. I'll keep my appointment. You know, if you're going to go to the doctor, do what the doctor says. If you're going to go to a lawyer, do what the lawyer says. Amen? I says, I'll keep my appointment. So Tuesday morning I woke up, and I'm getting ready to go to the hospital, and my helper spoke to me. My helper said, go to church this morning and have the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. Remember I said I already did that? I already did that. I thought, wow, I'm ahead of God. I already did it. Matter of fact, I was so excited. I told God. I said, God, I already did it. I mean, I think, you know, wow. I said, I was so excited. God, I already did it. As if he didn't know, you know. And then I heard him speak another, a second time very firmly. He said, I said, go to church today and have the laying on of hands and the anointing of oil. I thought, yes, 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 Lord. Yeah. I'm on my way. Yeah. And immediately I thought about Naaman. He had to dip in the River Jordan how many times? Seven times. And I thought, well, maybe God wants me to be anointed. Two times, three times. I thought, whatever it takes, dip, baby, dip. Whatever it takes, I'm going to obey. I want a miracle. I'm not going to put God in a box. Didn't happen. It's supposed to happen on Monday. It didn't happen on Monday. I'm not going to put God in a box. You want me to go back to church? I'll do it. I'll do it. So and because, see, logic could check, click in. Logic could say, aha, what was wrong with the pastor when he prayed the first time? Something's up with the pastor. Or it could have been the oil. I bet that oil is old and rancid. We need to have some fresh oil in the church. Don't go there. Never turn towards logic or reasoning. You stay with the word. You be prompt to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't care if it makes sense or not. Be prompt to obey. So I went and I'm driving to church and I'm kind of chuckling. I says, well, Lord, you know. My church is closed on Tuesdays because they have staff meetings, but you said go, so I'm going. I never argue with the Lord, but I'm going. As soon as I pulled in the parking lot, the pastor pulls right up next to me. He says, Marilyn, do you forget church is closed today? I said, no, I remember, it's closed. He says, well, what did you need? I said, the Lord told me to come back and have you anoint me with oil and lay hands on me. And he says, come right in. Elders are here. We'll do it. We'll pray. But before he prayed, he said, tell me exactly what is it that you want me to agree with you on. I said, Pastor, I want you to agree with me today that when those tests are taken, the results will show there's absolutely nothing there. And he said, if that's where your faith is, I'll hook mine up with yours. Perfect way to pray. He wasn't too sure if he could be that way, but he said, but I'll hook mine up with yours. I said, thank you. And he anointed me with oil. And I went to the hospital. I had all those tests. I was there for hours having all those tests taken. And then I went home because the doctor said, I'll call you at 5 o'clock. I'll call you at 5 o'clock and tell you what time surgery is scheduled for Wednesday. 5 o'clock sharp, the phone rings. Marilyn, I need you to come to the office. I said, okay, but just tell me, what were the results today? And she said, well, the results today, she said, it showed that there's absolutely nothing there. She quoted my exact words, and she said, Can you please come into the office? I need to do another examination before I schedule an operation. She examined me, and she was so excited. She said, you are my first miracle patient. She said, I've had other colleagues. I've heard them talk, and they were excited. I said, you're my first. I have a first miracle patient. I mean, we were both just so excited. But what I want to emphasize is this. I expected my miracle on Monday. It came on Tuesday. But I could have missed my miracle. I could have lost my miracle when it was only one more day away. Had I given up when it didn't happen the day I wanted it, the time I expected it, if it didn't happen my way, I could have lost. You could lose a miracle. Don't lose your miracle. Don't let logic steal from you. Now, I want to give you an illustration of something. I hope and I believe this will help you. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that time was made for man. It's a time to die, a time to be born, a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. You understand what I'm saying? Time was made for man. Therefore, man uses calendars. We circle dates on the calendar. You circle a date for a birthday, hair appointment, a seminar, something special going on to church, something special with your family. We circle dates on the calendar. I had even circled, Monday's going to be my miracle day. But we, as believers, we have to live by faith. This is another realm. This is the natural realm. This is the supernatural realm. This is the realm where miracles happen. This is the realm. There's no Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in this realm. This is the realm that we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. At some point, you know, I started off, when I first got that first report, man, I'm up here. Nope, I give no place to that evil report. I don't know when it happened, but at some point I slipped. I slipped and I got down here and my focus, oh, I can't wait for Monday. There's no Monday up here. Right. I'm down here, oh, I can't wait to get to the doctor's office on Monday. I'm going to get my miracle on Monday. It didn't happen on Monday. And when she told me that, and I realized instantly, I thought, oh, I'm in the wrong realm. I was in the wrong realm. It took me a New York second to get back up there in the right realm. No, no, no. I'm keeping my anchor, my faith on I is healed. Yeah. I is healed. I mean, I got right back up there and I stayed there. And my miracle came on Tuesday. Then I circled the calendar better. But let me give you something really important. Number one, get out of the waiting room. Nothing happens there. Get out of the waiting room. That's number one. Let your spirit man dominate at all times. Secondly, you take God's medicine, and if you have to take it every hour on the hour, do it. Take it seriously. It cost Jesus his life to give us that medicine. And build yourself up. Spend a lot of time praying in the Holy Spirit and listen to the revealer of secrets. The longer the tour, the more you see. The more time you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more time he has to show you things. Does that make sense to you? You can go on tour with the Holy Spirit. He has more time to show you things. Get intimate with the revealer of secrets. Take time to spend time. Have time to be quiet. Don't just do all the talking, but be quiet and listen to the revealer of secrets. How many of you know the story of Jairus, the woman with the issue of blood, and Jairus? when Jairus, Jesus is going to his house, but then he gets stopped along the way to hear this negative report about the woman that she was healed from the issue of blood. But Jairus has to stop. He's waiting. Come on, Jesus. Come on, let's get going. And then someone comes and says, Jairus, don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter already died. Jesus heard those words. He turned around immediately. And he said to Jairus two things. Fear not. Only believe. Fear not. In other words, don't be afraid when those negative reports flood in. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't give place to fear. Fear is the enemy of your faith. Fear not. Don't get into the emotional realm when a negative report happens when you least expect it. And then he said, only believe. Only believe what? Only believe what you already said. If I come to your house, she'll live. Who cares if she died? I said, I'm coming. In other words, never change your testimony even when the symptoms turn bad. You're healed, you're healed. Don't change your testimony. Amen. Last of all, have that bulldog tenacity that you absolutely refuse to be defeated. Stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Does that help you today? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, not only for your word, but we thank you that you are a faithful, faithful, faithful God, that you look over your word to perform it. We thank you for it, Father God. And I pray this word takes deep root into each and every heart. They'll never be the same again in Jesus' name. And I would like to ask a couple last questions. Is there anybody here that you have never prayed and asked Jesus to come into your heart? Is there anybody here at all? You've never prayed. You've heard about it. You believe, but you've never actually prayed and ask Jesus to come into your life. You know, when you do that, and it's the most simple prayer, all you have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross for you. He was raised again from the dead for you. If you pray that prayer, you are guaranteed two things. Not one, but two. You are guaranteed that when you leave this earth, you will go to heaven and reign with Father God throughout all eternity. What a beautiful, beautiful guarantee. The second thing you're guaranteed is that while you're on this earth, your helper, the Holy Spirit, immediately will come and live in you to help you, to guide you every step, every breathing moment of your life. Is there anybody here you've never prayed that prayer? Let's all just close your eyes and bow your head. And if that's you, no one else is looking but me, just raise your hand if you've never, never prayed that prayer. Or maybe you have, but you've drifted away and you just know the Holy Spirit is wooing you back today. Is there anybody here? Don't ever miss receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. Everybody here is saved. Let me ask you another question. Is there anybody here who has never received, Pastor, is this okay? If you've never received the evidence of speaking in tongues, you haven't got that Holy Spirit experience, and you would like to receive that today, to receive that free gift of building yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody here you've never prayed in a heavenly language and you'd like to do that today? Just come up forward if you'd like. I'd like to pray with you. Anybody at all? Come forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.